Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Man Cave Forum. This program may not be what you expect, but hopefully you're going to find that it's more than you expect. Our focus may appear to be on men and their issues. However, we do want to limit the audience or the topics. We all realize many of us face the same issues, dramas, and problems each and every day. Now, during our program, we want to explore any topic. Hopefully, we'll be able to shed some light on the items we discuss. Our objective is to offer open, clear, and effective communication because we believe this is the way to simplify our lives. My name is Michael, and the other members of the Man Cave Forum are Albert and Lanny. And Albert and I are carrying the load today alone. So it's just going to be the two of us on the Man Cave Forum today. And what is the Man Cave Forum? Well, it's basically each one of us getting together and sharing our perspectives on life's journey about any topic that comes up in our daily lives or what's something may be happening to us, maybe something that's happening in the world, whatever. We get together and we talk about it. And when we talk about it, we try not to be too intellectual about it. We try to make, you know, what is our perceptions, what are our feelings, and all these other things. But the bottom core of the whole line of this, we don't take ourselves too seriously, and it's in the realm and feeling of fun. And that's what we always want to do. We want to be able to take these topics and have fun with it. We started this process back in each of January 2010 when we were together in a larger group, and at the end of the day we would share our reflections of the day, what we personally felt, or just the things that were going on in our life. And that's kind of how the Man Cave Forum got started. So that's what we're all about. Now, if you want to know something about the co-host each week on the Man Cave, we do have a website. It's themancaveforum.com. There's brief bios, and also there are ways that you can send us emails about questions, comments, or suggestions for future topics. Now, we also want this to be a co-creative effort. So if you have any comments, questions, or anything else that you'd like to add, we have a toll-free number, and that toll-free number is 877-257-6517. And I'll repeat that as soon as I get off as I present the topic tonight. And our topic tonight is timely based on the time of the year, but it's going to be probably a little bit different than what you think. And our topic is 2015, let's look into the crystal ball. Again, 2015, let's look into the crystal ball. So if you have any thoughts, ideas, or want to, you know, give us your thoughts and comments, please give us a call. The toll-free number is 877-257-6517. Well, we could sit back and say, okay, we can go on the Internet and look up all the predictions for what the stock market's going to do, what's going to happen in technology, what's going to happen in the world and everything else. There's plenty of that information that's out there already. So that's not really the area I thought we would really venture into. And I think what we would like to do is try to discuss what we feel, intuitively. What is our sense for ourselves? What do we see for ourselves? And that's the hardest thing to do, and I think we'll all agree, trying to see for ourselves, trying to see what's ahead of us, what's in front of us. And that's sometimes an impossible task. But you also have a sense. You have a knowing inside of you that there's something that's going to happen. You might be able to kind of, you know, get a vague sense of what it is, but you can't really wrap your fingers around it, really hold on to it. But you just know it's about out there, and you know what that energy that you can feel that's out there that's about to embrace you. And I think a friend of mine, and Albert also knows her name's Ansara, and in her newsletter she wrote, for this coming year, 2015, the choices lie at the junction of two roads. So we continue to walk the roads always well-traveled, built on many social, religious, national, and familiar beliefs, or shall we take the road less traveled? To walk down the road of natural law, a road we most have mostly forgotten. And that's kind of the sense I have, is we've been doing this for so long in so many ways. And yes, it's worked for us quite well, but we have this overwhelming sense and feeling that it's time has come to an end, that we need to look at things and look at them differently, that we need to make some changes in our beliefs and our perceptions and everything else. And that's kind of what I want to throw out there and let us kind of venture into and talk about tonight. So before I continue on, Albert, I want you to jump in and give us your thoughts and your feelings.
Sure. For all our listeners and to Michael, my co-host, I'm glad to be here for the first Baby New Year, first show of the year, so I'm pretty excited about that. It's unfortunate that we're starting out with our brother Lanny. He's under the weather this evening, so me and Mike will do the best we can and make it a go of it. So I want to say Happy New Year's to all of us. To start my part of the conversation, we had meditation last night, and during my meditation class, and during my meditation, I kind of started getting into my belly, and it really kind of coincided with this crystal ball 2015 thing that we brought up for tonight's subject. And what we really do is we were kind of talking about what things do, what people do every single year. For instance, New Year's resolutions, relationships, a new job, lose weight, you know, whatever resolutions we come up with. Well, last night was kind of interesting for me because those are the things we bring up every year, it seems like, or reasonable facsimiles thereof. But for last night, what came to me was paradigms. And, Michael, if you've got a dictionary, I would like to know the dictionary version of that word. In any case, what came to me, a paradigm to me means words of wisdom, my definition of that word, you know, what your parents teach you, you know, the things you learn, and then right from wrong, or et cetera, what you're taught. And I like to condense that, and I like to call that the Chicano code. The Chicano code, because I am a Chicano male, and I am taught from my mom and my dad and my brothers and family members and whatever of the code of how we raise ourselves, how we act, how we treat others, how we treat our fellow friends and family, you know, various things like that, you know, how we're taught. So as I was sitting through meditation, what came to me in my heart was I needed to go back and look at the Chicano code again, paradigms. The things that have been working for me last year and the year before don't seem to be working for me at this point now. I seem to be changing as an individual, be it spiritually, physically, or emotionally. Things that were important to me in the past are no longer important to me now, or they did subtle changes. So what I caught myself doing last night in my meditation is started looking at my life through this year of coming, this new year, this baby new year we're going, and re-looking at who I am. Who am I? How do I define myself? What is my significance as a human being? What is my importance as a co-host to Michael and Lanny? So all those things come to mind, and guess what? I find those questions fascinating. I don't have an answer yet, but I'm processing them. I'll stop for the moment. Michael?
Well, that seems to be pretty consistent with what I quoted from Mansara's newsletter. It's that we have the sense and feeling that what we've been doing for so long in the past just doesn't seem to resonate anymore. It just doesn't feel mm-hmm. right. Even though it was a great teacher for us and we learned wonderful things, just things are different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is, you know, like you're saying, is looking at it from a new perspective, from fresh, maybe fresh eyes and saying, okay, if we've done it this way for so long, what about doing it differently? Or what about taking the beliefs that we have about certain things and just say, let's set them to the side and let's envision, as you know, the people would say, think outside the box. In other words, what if? What if you could do some of the things and see where it takes you? And I think we and many others that have been on this journey, like we have with the Man Cave Forum for the last 5 years, is we've done that. That's part of what the Man Cave Forum does when the three of us get together, is we look at life and its journeys and everything around us that's maybe outside the norm. It's not quite consistent with what most people would believe or feel. And a lot of it has to do with our senses and our feelings that when we do certain things and experience some things. I think the best example I give, people have maybe heard us talk in past programs out this area, which is in our local mountains that we call the Enchanted Forest. And we call it that way because when the three of us went to this area for the very first time, we kind of walked into it, into this area, and it was a wooded area with tall pine trees and just looks like many other areas of the local mountains, but there was just a different feeling in this area. And as we kind of sat and became quiet, we could feel intuitively that things were pulling us in one direction or the other, and that they're asking us to step outside our normal belief system, to us step outside our normal feeling and our normal senses and just let it happen. And as we did this, there were more marvelous experiences that we can, you know, that we probably, we couldn't fill in it just in this hour. We would need much more time than that, but we just had these incredible experiences. Now, some of them, you know, fascinated me in that we had these experiences with what we would call fairy tale figures, so gnomes and fairies and stuff. And our interactions and our connections with them were amazing. Now, people say, well, okay, did you actually see them and everything else? Well, in the physical aspect that we would normally say, did they show up like Albert shows up next to me each day or when we're on this trip? No, not necessarily that way. But we could sense and feel them. And then as the more, and we had these individually at the beginning. We had these experiences individually. And then we would share with each other the experiences we had. And then as we shared these experiences, I think we found that then the others in our group also started to experience those same things. In other words, what I was experiencing, Albert and Lanny would experience, and then they would also supplement it. There would be others that they interacted with. And then as we talked, it became this wonderful, incredible experience and journey. Now, some people say, okay, well, you know, maybe you need to go talk to somebody and lay on a couch and get this all straightened out. but it's not that way. I mean, if anybody that knows the three of us knows is that we look very normal, we act very normal, we talk very normal, we think very normal, but when we let ourselves loose and just kind of go into this other realm, this other direction, it's so amazing, it's so fulfilling, the experiences we have. And I think mine really started many years ago when I did my meditations. And I used to do my meditation like most people do. I'd sit down, become very quiet, and just let my mind still, and then there would be thoughts and feelings come through in my meditation. And I remember after I finished the meditation, I thought, geez, I wish I would have recorded that or written it down. So then what I started to do is what I started to do, what they call automatic writing, which is basically the form of meditation, except you're writing down what the thoughts and information that comes through as opposed to just listening to it and letting it go out. And it was amazing, and as I did this, it gave me, personally, more comfort. Comfort's not really the right word. Confidence is kind of closer to the word. To feel comfortable to go outside my normal thought process, what I've been taught as to what's real and not real, and bring in all these other things that seem to be on our belief system. And as I did this, more and more came to me, and it was just amazing. So that's kind of, I think, the journey that all mankind is starting to move on to. Now, there's been many people that have led the way, excuse me, for the last 30 some years of people opening up their consciousness, their thoughts, and their feelings. But I think more and more people that are quote-unquote normal are starting to admit it, starting to discuss it, starting to express it. Now, they're doing it in safe ways, not as forward and bizarre as we have a tendency to do. So it's very interesting to see what direction that goes. Okay, Albert, you got any thoughts?
Sure, plenty. I'm even taking notes. What I wanted to bring up is what you were kind of saying, that before I start the new year, I want to kind of end the last year. I'm not sure if you brought this up on the air last time, Michael, but I want to bring it up because it resonated very strongly to me. I'm going to say you didn't, so I'm going to assume if I did, I'm going to say it twice. You had brought up right around Christmas time, you said something to the effect of you weren't going to buy presents. Do you recall that conversation?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, because I didn't want to get into it. I want you to share it. I just want to give you the topic. Well, henceforth, that statement resonated very strongly with me. Because what it is parents buy gifts all the time. We get in this routine, you know, or why do we got to buy gifts? And for whatever reason, you explain it, I'm going to let you explain it, says, I'm not doing it this year. Well, that resonated with me. And this wasn't being a Scrooge or anything like that. It was the paradigm change. It's no longer the issue that it was before or the point that it was before. At least that was my take on that. So along the same concept, what I did was, and you know it too, every holiday, I have a cell phone, and I have a Rolodex inside that cell phone, and I write up a statement in my quick text, and I send that to all my people, which is like 30 of them. So every season, Christmas, New Year's, you name it, whatever, well, not this New Year's, I would write, you know, Merry Christmas to you and your family, God bless, and, you know, whatever statement I did, and send it all day long through all the people I knew. Well, then Michael brought up that comment in regards to, I'm not doing presents. So something told me, and not out of meanness, Michael explained that to you if he wants to, he just made a statement, and it resonated with me. So someone told me, I'm not going to send to Texas on New Year's. Not out of meanness, whatever, I was just doing it for, it was always the rule, if you will, you know. And all of a sudden it says, let someone text me back. And out of an average of 30, I only got like 5 back. So then I got upset. So here I was, just because I text people, why do they have to text me if I don't text them? So I was getting mad at people or whatever. I was really getting mad at myself, really, and blaming it on other people. So I found the whole concept quite interesting that I had to process it. Why am I upset? They're just being them. If they don't text me, that ain't got nothing to do with them. And if I'm upset about it, that ain't got nothing to do with them. It all has to do with me. So it gave me a great opportunity to look at myself, to look at my belief system, to look at how I perceive people who perceive me. So I found the whole thing quite fascinating. I went through a whole gauntlet of emotions, and I found that quite frustrating, exciting, and depressing, and, you know, and like I said, a whole cornucopia of emotions. I found the whole concept quite refreshing, to be honest with you. Michael?
Well, you mentioned, I just want to share with the audience, you talked about, I made a comment about the Christmas time, that I had made a conscious choice not to buy presents this year. And it was more an honoring of the season. Yes, you know, I understand it's Christmas and all that, but it wasn't necessary in that vein of honoring that. It was honoring the joy of this time of year, because we all feel this joy. We can't really describe it. We can't really, you know, it is difficult to put to words, this joy we feel, this compassion, this camaraderie we have as mankind. Even though it's, you know, it's primarily related to Christian beliefs and so on, but everybody gets involved. I mean, I know a lot of my friends that are not Christians really get involved into the season too, because of the beautiful colors of the lights, you know, the hustle and bustle of people going and doing the things they need to do, the celebrations, everything else. And that's what I was saying. Okay, instead of just giving a gift, which is the hardest thing to do, because most people, you know, it's hard to find something great gift for somebody, but also just spending the time together and enjoying time together, and kind of back when we did in the old days, you know, old days, I mean, even before we were born, where in these holidays you would get together and it was just basically about sharing with family and friends. And I think that was the kind of the shift and change that I wanted to make. So that's to give you a little bit of background. Now, we do have some callers that are on the line. So we have a caller from area code 780. You've been listening. I would just want to see if you have any comments or questions that you'd like to add.
Oh, yes, hello.
Hi.
My mic was on. Hey, welcome to the new year.
Yes. Do you have any thoughts, comments that you want to share, or are you just listening?
I know, 2015 looks really interesting for myself. I find that I think more and more as we grow into ourselves, it's, as a guy, it was, you know, defining our masculinity, eh? And I find it's always, I think my perspective of what it was a long, long time ago before has really definitely changed. And not to be as scared of it or be afraid of it, but actually to embrace it. And I think that goes likewise for women, too, to embrace their femininity. And I think we got it wrong in some ways, the way our society is. And our parents are programmed to be a certain way and do certain things, and you know, then we have generations of, you know, of the lemmings following lemmings, basically, or sheep following sheep, so I just find that it's really a time for us to be more empowered for ourselves as a species. And I think, you know, for this year, and I think last year we saw some things come up for humanity, and I think this year we'll see some things will too. So I think it'll challenge us in some ways and actually embark us on other journeys if that does happen for us. So, you know, just go with the flow and go with the change, and I think that's what 2015 is all about. I think we're really getting, I think there's a lot of information out there for us to look at, but if we're really, really blind of not actually do anything about it or be like an ostrich, I feel that it really disempowers us, and I think it actually hurts us physically in the future, actually, too, as a society. So that's where I stand with that, so.
Well, I think I concur with you in many of the changes and everything else, but I think what I also see is we're expanding not only on the individual level, it's kind of that energy is filtering over into large organizations, and even in including governments and so on, we're starting to see some changes. I mean, I think what's happening is somewhat positive. Give an example in Russia with Putin. A lot of stuff that he's doing is, you know, kind of the old energy, the old everything else, but the rest of the world sitting back and said, you know, that's just not the way to do things. And even, I think even in his own country, that's what is starting to stir up. So I think the consciousness is starting to shift and move in those directions. So I think we're all going in that direction. I mean, I mentioned in one of the programs last week or the week before that, you know, it maybe it's a hot topic, but just the recognition of Cuba again by the U.S. and opening up those channels, and hopefully the flow of, you know, interaction and you know, and the people. Because every time anybody I've ever heard that's gone to Cuba that's has come back has said that the people are just beautiful and wonderful. So I think it's just more of a humanitarian twist that we're all going in the direction. We're just looking at that we're all one, and why do we use boundaries or religions to separate us, and it's just not necessary. So, Albert, you still there? Got any thoughts or comments?
Yeah, I was listening. I'm kind of bad hearing, or my phone's not coming in. I'm not sure if our listener says something in regards to getting in touch with our feminine side. I believe I heard that, but I could have misheard. But it resonated well with me, because it's nice to hear a man say, get in touch with a feminist side, because usually, you know well, Michael, that I've been working on that for a few years, you know, because I think that helps you become a more complete human being. And I like our listeners saying something like that, because I quite agree, because most men don't speak something like that. And if they do, they're considered less than or whatever, you know, drama someone wants to bestow upon you doing that. But to say something like that, man, it did my heart good, because that's what I'm also working with, getting in touch with my feminist side to help me become finding out who I truly am. Because I am masculine, but there is a feminist side to me, and they're both part of who I am, and I need to embrace both of them. So I commend you for saying something like that, because that's what I've been working on. And I have more road to go, don't get me wrong, but it's a challenge, but it's worth it, because it's who I am, and I find that fascinating, and I commend you for it. So thank you.
Hey, everyone.
Part of the difficulty is when a man hears that he needs to get in touch with his feminine side, he totally misinterprets exactly what that means.
Yeah.
And if I really had to describe it to somebody, I think it's more of listening to your intuition and being and listening more as opposed to acting. And, you know, we as men have a tendency to act first. You know, we're the protectors, we're the hunter, the gatherers and everything else. So we have a tendency to take our club out and beat it first and then, you know, worry about it later, whereas the feminine side is going to sit back and observe and then maybe ask questions and then listen. And so, and then also, like I said before, is to follow their intuition. And you know, if you ask a man what's intuition, you get a blank stare from most men as to what intuition is. You know, they'll say it's all that psychic stuff. Well, it's not that at all. It's the intuition is really just listening to your heart. And again, we men have a tendency to define listening to your heart as to a romantic issue, and it's not really a romantic issue. Listening to your heart is just that. It's listening to what is your soul telling you? What is it saying to you? And that these are some of the aspects. So if there's any women out there that say we've got it all wrong, you're more than welcome to call in and let us know. So you guys have any other comments, thoughts?
No, I don't.
It's like when you describe that to a regular or an average person, they think maybe it's a bra on an ATV or something like that. I'm just going from there. And like I said, it isn't actually. And I find that we guys tend to avoid it actually. It's like steer away from it. Oh, if we start crying. You ever watch guys cry most of the time? It's not the old tear. It's like, okay. I can't let it out. I can't look at myself. I can't, you know, it's like if you let it out, it'll be like a woman. It's like no, it's not that. It's not about that. So I think we as guys for masculinity is we really haven't really defined ourselves, and I don't think women have defined ourselves as femininity too. So like I said, so. But it's always a route of discovery. It's always a route of discovery, and I feel that we have some part of that within ourselves, the femininity or the masculinity for the women, is that we become more of a balanced person instead of working from a point of I would say exaggerated power, but I would say power in the wrong way, actually. So I think we actually can understand both sides of it, actually. And it also helps in relationships, I believe, that if the guy comes more understand his feminine side and the woman's done their masculine side, okay, they'll be able to understand each other better instead of like two people talking in a different language, trying to understand each other in a way, yeah, if you know what I'm saying. So I feel that it's always still a creative process, too. And I just wonder if you, I'm just going to put it out there, too. If I watched a couple, actually, who was at a forgiveness workshop. I was really interesting about this, and it was basically to drag along the guy day. Okay, I'm going, hon, let's go, too, okay? And the guy's supportive, and it's like, he didn't want to go. And what happened is the person was, the woman was actually, you know, just really kind of like understanding what it was all about. And the guy, I saw this, the husband is watching this, and then it was his legs were crossed and his arms were crossed basically for the entire period of the class. So it tells you, it's like, I'm here to support you, and that's it. I'm there physically as a person to support you and stuff like that. It must have been in the vows or something like that when they got married, right? You know, so I don't know. Just I find that too. It's more of a duty more than just the going from your heart point of view. Yeah, from your heart point of view. It's like it's like rules basically in a marriage, right? So, you know, it's like taking a woman to Home Depot or something like that, right? Or it doesn't kind of work that way. It's like, oh, I'm here to just here to support you, but I don't want to be here actually right now. You know, so I know. Just I find that, and it's okay to say no too, right? I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go, just don't go. It's okay. There's no obligation to. So, yeah, now I look at things through my eyes. For this year, yeah, just keep watching and just keep working on myself in solitude. So, yeah.
But as we were talking, some couple of past experiences came to mind that I want to share as far as people saying, well, you know, how do you follow your intuition and what's it mean? And this may not seem like it's on target, but it really is. The first example is I went to a funeral of somebody that I knew, but not real close. But as I'm sitting in the service, I'm feeling all this emotion from the audience, and it was a fairly big crowd because this person was well known and well loved. And I'm feeling all this emotion, and I'm cheering up. And again, I'm going, I don't really know this person. So the typical old male energy, like you said earlier, was going to, you know, hold back those tears and everything else. And I finally went, why? So I just let myself tear up and just cry and cry and cry. And my ex-wife at the time looked at me, and she's kind of looking at me like, what's wrong with you? Because she knew that I didn't know this person that well. And that's one instance where it kind of went, okay, where's this coming from? You know, what's this feeling? Now, the other example is I went to a high school graduation. And at this high school graduation, it was from friends, and it was their child that was graduating and everything else. And it was in, like many places, in a big football stadium, and the kids are all on the football field, and they're doing all their things. And I'm feeling all this pride and all this joy of the whole crowd, even though they're not cheering and everything else, but like you could just feel it and sense it. And as, you know, as we were normally taught in the past, we just kind of disregarded everything else. But I just let myself feel it. And I let myself have all this joy and this pride come in and just feel me. And it was just amazing. And that was kind of like my introduction to go, okay, maybe this is my intuition just tapping me on the shoulder and said, hey, there's a lot more out here in this world, and you're not separate, and you are more connected. And that's when I kind of started paying attention to this and started opening myself up to more and more experiences. And I think that's what this energy that we talked about at the beginning of the program of 2015 is we're starting to look at the world more from a humanitarian standpoint, is the what's good for all of us, as opposed to, you know, trying to set boundaries and what's black and white or what's Republican, what's Democrat, and just saying what's good for all of us. And I hope that is the energy that we're anchoring in and moving in. Albert, thoughts?
I kind of like the idea how all three of us, well, the two of us, now all three of us are talking about crying. Our caller talked about crying earlier, and you were talking about tearing-eyed, and I found it interesting, and here we go, we're talking about paradigms, that being a Latino man, I was taught as a little kid, real men don't cry. And we all know, you might not know Michael, but that's bogus, because we've never seen Michael cry. I never seen my dad cry. We never, you know, we just don't do something like that. And here are all three of us talking about it. And a moment ago, I was talking about getting in touch with my feminine side. Part of that is finding the ability to cry. Now, not necessarily done in Main Street in front of hundreds of people. I try to do it in the privacy of my home or wherever. And I find it refreshing to catch and release. And the tears release that pain or transmute it or whatever. And without crying, life is hard for me. I don't cry every day, but sometimes you get frustrations and, you know, what have you, you know, and they build up. If you don't release those frustrations or those anxieties, they will eat you up. And in the long term, they will kill you. So that's what I'm trying to find. And I find that all three of us are talking about crying, you know, and I think that's kind of neat because men don't discuss something like that. That's considered, you know, less than. And I just think, to me, it works really, really well, you know. And I just wanted to let our listeners out there, particularly the men folks, that ain't nothing wrong with crying, you know, especially if it makes you feel better, you know. So I just wanted to express that. So go ahead, Michael. Or our listener.
It was interesting because in preparation of the program, I went through and did look at some newsletters that I follow periodically. And a couple of them are astrologers, and it's always interesting to see what they have to say. But one of them, and I had highlighted, but I went back and I want to just kind of read it to you here. And one of the things that she says is it's time for us to view the traditional masculine and feminine roles in a new light. So that's pretty consistent with what we're talking about right here.
And I just wondered. Go ahead.
Let me add just one other thing. She also continues on and says, Women will make a more vocal role in how the world is run, and we will learn that waging war does not necessarily mean a winning side. So, it's showing us that we're making this shift and making this change. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Jed. You were about to make a comment. What was your first name, by the way?
Oh, my name is Jay, actually. I'm calling from Canada.
Jay, okay.
I got a question for you, actually, both guys. I just wondered, do you have any, like, men's groups in your area or where you are? I don't know where you are, both of you, but I just wondered if you've been to any men's groups, and do you ever share your views of what you feel about masculinity or what, you know, what guys' role in society or anything like that is? Because I'm just curious because, you know, I belonged to a men's group before, and actually it kind of had great ideas and almost it went downhill, and I feel that the next men's group I'm in too, it's going to go with really great ideas and then just fall short of things, right? And I just wonder, I think just feel that when we embark on that journey with other guys, it's almost like dabbling in the way of getting past things, or it's just a neat idea but it doesn't hold any water in a way. And I just find that it's just a game for guys. I think when you talk about spiritual stuff or crying or things like that, it's just a game, and it's just like, well, I'll keep doing my own stuff and be the provider or what my role is, and what I was told a long time ago, I'm supposed to be a fireman or whatever, and you know, get the 2.5 kids and things like that, and raise a family, and that's your own path. Or I find for most guys, but do they have enough time to embark on that journey of more femininity in their life? Because I just find it kind of like there isn't. I don't think it's just too busy right now to even have a breath in there to work on that stuff or even explore that avenue. Just wonder what your thoughts about that.
Well, we have talked about that. We've talked about taking our man cave form into a monthly, weekly, or whatever group, and you know, just having discussion groups in our local areas. Albert and I live about 45 minutes an hour apart, so it's not something like we could just jump in. It's something you have to plan. And we've discussed this with amongst the three of us, including Lanny. But I've also discussed it with some of my female friends. I even suggested we should change the name of our program from Man Cave Forum to something that was maybe have a broader audience. And each one of the women I discussed it with, they said, no, I like the idea that you got the Man Cave Forum, and I like listening to see what the men's perspective is. But I think the thing of having a meeting is I wouldn't want to limit it to a men's group or even a, you know, like the women have a women's group. It would be kind of like a man cave forum for everybody. And maybe it's not a man cave forum anymore. Maybe it's just, you know, a life's journey forum or something, whatever. But I think when you get men and women together and you talk about topics, especially like the topics we talk about here in the Man Cave Forum, and you get men and women talking about this, like, you know, you can talk about, well, you know, men crying and everything else, then you get the female perspective of it, and I think it makes it less threatening to men when I've experienced it myself. When men have a chance to listen to hear what the females have to say about an issue, they'll kind of go, oh, geez, I never realized that. So it'll open up the dialogue and the communication and kind of drop some of these barriers and beliefs that we had that Albert was talking about at the beginning of the program. How do you see that, Albert? Do you concur, or what direction do you think it could go?
No, I think you're both online. I wanted to comment on our caller's statement in regards to men meeting. As a group, our group started, the three of us, me, Michael, and Lanny, with a meditation group. And there's roughly 25 people all together. But during meditation, we do it once a week. It's roughly around 15 people. There's only 5 men in that entire group. We try to get a gathering of men, and we were meeting at a restaurant. I think we got, what, as far as, what, 5 or 6, Michael? And later on, it just died on the vine. We couldn't get the men coming. And it seemed like our foundation was women with an auxiliary of men, if you will. So I commend you for joining a men's club, and then you went to another group. We can't even find that around here. We had our own, and the way we started the Man Cave, I don't know if you had the opportunity to listen to the start of the show or one of our shows, but we all started the Man Cave in Egypt. And we were all flying from California because we all live in California. We went into Egypt, spent a bunch of hours flying, and right at the end of the evening, Michael comes up to me and Lanny. And me and Lanny were roommates, and Michael had his own roommates. And says, I want to sit down and talk to you guys. We've been in the air 14, 15 hours. I mean, it took 20 hours to get to where we're going, and we're beat, okay? But our brother wants to clear the air. We said, yes, you don't deny your brother that. And then one of the women, kind of after that, we started meeting regularly after our Egypt, whatever stuff we were doing, going to the pyramids or what have you, and we would have a meeting every day. And then one of the women saw us going by and called us the Man Cave, which was a positive thing because we got to be in our little roost and then say whatever we wanted to say and then not playing judgment or anything on anybody. That's what created our program. But in regards to men, it seems like other than the three of us or a few of us, men don't want to seem to participate, and I'm just curious what you two think about that, how we can get encourage men to do that, because it seems like we got a vital thing here amongst each other here, and it seems extremely rare, and I'm not sure how to add to that unless you two have any ideas. I'm willing to listen. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the difficulty, Albert, let me jump in real quick. The difficulty of doing that is men's group, we have a hard time overcoming something that we did not have a hard time overcoming, because what we agreed to is either that it was the first night or the second night when we started this Man Cave when we were in Egypt. It was kind of like the old Las Vegas thing, whatever is said here stays here. And we also, the second thing we also said is whatever is said, there is no judgment. In other words, you just share whatever it is, and you're not going to get any judgment. And then also, you know, I guess the third perspective of it is you're not going to be trying to convince one way or the other. You're just going to be asked. I mean, the hardest question that you're asked during the whole time that we had conversations initially on was, how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you ask a man how he feels, and it's one of the most difficult questions for a man to answer. And I was a perfect example of it back in Egypt because
yes, you were.
Albert and Lanny asked me how I felt. I would give you a 15-minute dissertation of all the facts and circumstances, but after I was finished, Albert or Lanny would look at me very quietly and say, well, how do you feel? And then I give another 5-minute dissertation. And then the other one, if Albert asked me the first time, Lanny would say, no, how does that make you feel? And so it took a long time. And sometimes feeling it's a one-word answer. You could be angry. You could be happy. You could be exhilarated. You could be pissed off. I mean, it's all these things, you know. And that's really basically what it is, because once you get that feeling word out, then you get down to the core of what's the core, what's resulting in that feeling. And then as you go through this process, you kind of realize many times what got you there was smoke and mirrors, and you're able to let it go. And men just aren't taught how to do that. Women do it all
right.
the time. Men just aren't taught that. Okay, I'll pass it on to you guys if you want to jump in.
Well, go ahead. I think our listener had a comment.
Yeah, I just find that you're right about men's groups seem to diminish, and I feel that one person wanted to bring in salsa. We were going to go salsa dancing and things like that. And I'm going, well, that's kind of interesting, but it's not really what our purposes are for defining role or what we need to be a purpose statement regarding our group, eh? And I feel that it's uncommitted. Like, it's just it's almost like, you know, which way did that person go? And you show them both arrows in left and right direction. It's like, for guys, it's like that too. It's like there's no direction. It's like, oh, make up your mind where you want to go, right? And it's like,
right.
okay. And
right.
I think we lose that. We lose that, okay? And I think women, you know, women get frustrated with that. It's like, okay, you guys are so clueless, you know, they say sometimes, right? And I think that's... if we have some more definition to, like, even our men's groups, what they're supposed to be and what we were talking about. Even I got an email just the other day from our friend who's trying to organize a men's group, which I'm going to be a part of and see what it does. But it's like, okay, let's talk about a topic, right? So, and there's some people, they're just there to... I don't know, just be amongst other men and talk about things. We guys don't want to share a lot of things. I don't know, just we feel like it's like taboo to share our feelings or talk
mm-hmm.
about things
mm-hmm.
straight out forward. And
right.
I think, when I talk about the masculinity thing, I think that we are very protective of our masculinity, whatever form that may be, right? And I think that's the reason why we just don't even think about sharing or you know, exploring a feminine side, because, you know, what does that do? Is it going to diminish my masculinity, right? Or a power state or something like that. So I just find that's how I look at it right now for 2015. I just like, okay, well, I did explore my femininity side. So, and it's interesting that you were saying, like, most of my friends actually are women, actually. And they're highly
mm-hmm.
spiritual, too. And the reason why I do that, because I can talk about things that I can't talk to guys about, right? Because, I always say to my sisters, if I have to explain everything in my conversation to you, I'm not having a conversation. It's more like a teaching, and I don't want to teach you while having a conversation for everything that I say, because
mm-hmm.
if you don't understand what I'm doing. So for myself, is that, I can talk about things that I can't talk about guys, because if it's about spiritual stuff, like heavy duty spiritual stuff, I have a good set of friends I can talk to about it, right? And it's really good, yeah. But I mean, they share stuff that they can't talk to. This is really interesting. If you have some spiritual women as friends, okay, it seems like they can talk to you about something that they can't talk to their partners or spouses about. It
mm-hmm.
seems like that.
Right.
It's just interesting I hear that. And it's like, what? And I say, why can't you talk to your guy about it? And then I'm seeing the thing. It's like, well, that guy, you know, my partner or spouse doesn't understand what's going on. And they'll shake their head, yeah, 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 you know, or something like that. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's how I look at it right now from my perspective. So...
Well,
yeah.
Dr. John Gray, who wrote the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, gave me I was watching, I think it was on a PBS special one time, and he gave a wonderful example of what we're kind of talking about. He had given a presentation at a conference or whatever, and at that evening he was having dinner in the hotel restaurant there, and there was a group of 10 women sitting in a circular table right next to him, and he was eating by himself. And he's a psychologist. So he's, you know, when you have a large group of people sitting next to you, you pretty much can hear most of their conversations. So what would happen is one woman would start sharing what her complaint was, her experience or whatever, and she would, you know, just go through and and share it. And when, you know, she finally finished sharing, then the next woman would jump in and start sharing and sharing. But he said that the thing that he noticed is they never really tried to solve the problem. Each woman.
That's right.
And he was right. And he was exhausted at the end of this whole dinner because he'd listened to all these things, and he wanted to go over and say, tell each woman, well, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, because we men are used to solving problems when the women just listen and want to share, and that's where the struggle is.
Right.
And then you want to the men's group, and I think the energy where the men's group is, yeah, let's take a topic and let's solve the world's problem. That's basically
what it is. But isn't it interesting what you said, though, but if the guys would actually do that, okay, let's take the feminine side of what you just said, okay, of, okay, let's talk about and share things, okay, and us guys want to solve things. So if you had a balance of both things, would it actually work out better? I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's like for one person, okay, a man who learned to share and solve problems, right? Women share and solve the problem. But because one side is sharing and one side is basically listening and you want to solve the issue right there, right? You see how it turns into a situation of not really getting anywhere sometimes?
Not really, because let me tell you what happens. And this is basically the core of the Man Cave Forum. When Albert, Lanny, myself got together and we would talk, and what Albert was referring to is at the time we first got together and really knew each other was back in January 2010, and I had just separated from my now ex-wife, and it was on a somewhat of a dramatic way of it was handled and done. So that's what I was sharing with the guys. And when I would share my thoughts and feelings, they weren't trying to give me what I should do and what answers they do. They basically were letting me talk. And as I talked, they would give me perspective. In other words, I would share and, you know, invent and complain, and they would, you know, they would turn the corner and say, well, you know, how do you think she felt? Which is something we men don't necessarily do well is try to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and see how they felt. So they were just asking me to look at all the perspectives. And as we went through this discussion process, it brought great clarity to me as to what I was up against or how I would then go back and not necessarily solve the problem, but tackle the issue. And so it wasn't up to the group or the other guys to give me the answer. It was up for me to find my own answers. And I think that's the difference. Because we men want to be given the answer or find the answer, whereas in this process, the answer presents itself to us. Does that make sense? It's a different
yes.
process. Do you agree, Albert, that's how it goes?
Yes, I find it, the whole conversation is fascinating with the three of us. I would like some females to offer their perspectives from the Venus side, if you will, but you know we're not getting. But I think it's quite, you don't hear men talk what we're talking, and I find it fascinating. If I could, I'd like to give my perspective on the crystal ball for me, and not change the subject, but kind of go with the direction we were going here. For me, I kind of gave this some thought through this meditation class I was telling you yesterday, and I'll give you a little history to our caller out there. I just retired a year ago. I was a campus security for 30 years at high school, so I know the mantra high school drama, which is a terrible phrase. Well, adults do it too, drama, that is. So here I am thinking, what are my new resolutions for this year? And we have an archive for our listeners out there. We'll discuss it in greater detail when we went to Sedona, but I'm not going to go into the detail that we did then. If you're interested, look up the Sedona one. In any case, we went on over there a few weeks back, and then Michael took us to this place, a psychic place that he knows, the people, and he had me take a picture of a aura picture, where they take this picture of you and it shows different colors, and then the psychic person interprets it. What came down to a healer, the short version, shaman, you know, whatever you want to term, healer. So my new resolution for this year, I'm purposely doing vague and big picture and narrow it down as the year goes by. The topic for me is healer. I was a medic in the Army. I was a paramedic afterwards. So I have healing in regards to the physical healing. In the shaman, this lady interpreted for me that I have the ability to heal from long range. Again, healing. So last year, I took two classes in my retirement where I went and did stand-up comedy. I took a stand-up comedy and did two sets at the world-famous Hollywood Improv. Found out I'm kind of good at it. So here I am looking the energy of laughter is healing. Again, I'm sticking everything I'm bringing up in the area of healing. You can be a healer by being up a stand-up comic and making people laugh. You can be a healer by being a doctor. You can be a healer by being a priest. Different things. You can be a healer by being a listener. Complete effective communication and listening, you know. So my area is healer. What resonates strongest with me? What do I have the most time for? What do I have the financial constraints for? Okay, so I like the concept on the 6th of January, knowing that my goal for 2015 is to heal. Who should I heal first? Heal thyself. How can I love someone? How can someone love me if I don't love myself? By healing myself will help me in that direction. You two gentlemen have a comment on that, a response?
Well, Albert, I concur with you, and I think healing in many respects is just being yourself. And that's mm-hmm. what you talk about. It's kind of looking inwardly to yourself and heal thyself. Because I think once you can work through that process of healing yourself, what you project and present out to the rest of the world is something that people can either glean or be repulsed by. And either one of those is good because it causes
right.
the person to think or feel. And so I think that's part of the healing process. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. We have a tendency mm-hmm. to say, okay, a healer's got to be this, a doctor, like you said, or
right.
whatever, a psychologist or whatever. So that's part mm-hmm. of our old paradigm, our old thinking is
mm-hmm.
how
exactly.
we define this. And we're now looking at, okay, let's redefine, or not redefine, let's just travel a new road. Like I mentioned in one of the quotes I had to begin the top of the program, is moving in a new direction, moving in a more humanitarian, I think, approach is what we're looking at, is looking, think more of we as a people, as a group, as opposed to putting the divisions and separations that we have between us. So I think you're right on the mark there. Did you have anything additional that you're going to add to as far as your crystal ball for the year?
No, me no.
Jay, did you have any comments, thoughts?
Yeah, my crystal ball for this year is actually to continue what I did last year, is actually to still continue work on myself, spread my wisdom around with the classes that I do teach, and participate in groups where I can actually mingle with spiritually minded people for this year, because it's always beautiful to work or be around spiritually minded people and talk about things that instead of like Dancing with the Stars or whatever. So it's always something more positive instead of like more drama and things like that. So that's where I'm at right now for this year. So I'm just getting prepared for a very busy, you know, spring and actually a whole year of just being busy with that too in that way. And teaching actually, so yeah.
What areas do you teach?
I do actually teach native drumming, actually, and mostly mostly that stuff that I teach for. Well, thank you. I teach mostly women actually in my class. A lot of women come to my class, so and give them some stuff and they build their own drum and they're really proud of it and things like that and do some work with it. So some, like I said, you know, some people come to my class for doing, you know, getting a job done and continuing with the work, or they're just there, and I know it's just a nice experience. So, yeah, so that's what I do.
Well, Jay, I want to share an experience we have, and it's related to drumming, since you brought up. And again, it also relates to following your intuition, which is kind of what the topic of what we see as far as the crystal ball this year is, getting more in tune with yourself, intuition, and Mother Nature and everything around us. But the example that I want to bring up is that I had gone out to visit Lanny and Albert at Lanny's house at that time, and I had bought a drum, and I brought it with me to show the guys. And
mm-hmm.
so we were sitting there looking at it and kind of talking about it, so I just started playing it, just intuitively playing it. And these rhythms were coming intuitively. And then Lanny mm-hmm. joined in with his drum, and then Albert had found a drum there, so there was a third, and the three of us started drumming. And we weren't talking. We were just sitting there intuitively just playing this drum with these rhythms and everything else. And we found that, I can't remember how long we did it, Albert, but it was for quite a while, maybe 10, 15
minutes. Quite a while, yes. Right, right. or longer.
And as we were doing this, realized the temperature in the room went up about, and it was only the three of us in the room. The temperature in the room went up about 10 degrees. And it was just fascinating, the experience that we had. And knew at that time, is just as we were putting all of our soul and our energy into this process of drumming, not thinking about it, just following our heart energy, it was an amazing experience. And it was, and I could see if that's what you teach, it would be magical. So just wanted to give you a little bit of thought and feedback.
Yeah, I want to comment on that, Michael. I find that interesting because I forgot all about that. That happened, a couple of years ago, but I just remembered it now. And what came to me as you were speaking was the three of us were hitting the drums differently, like an orchestra tuning up. You know how it's out of sync and everybody's using their own, whatever they're doing, but it doesn't sound like music. And then after a while, and I mean like 30 seconds or whatever, someone seems to be the prevalent note, if you will, and then the other two catch on to that note. And it's really, really neat how it goes from organized chaos, if you will, to a melody, if you will, and really interesting over a period of seconds where you got to get out, at least I do, you got to get out of your head and get into your heart because your heart knows the rhythm. And it's almost like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 you know. And actually, there's three with a third ventricle. Boom, boom, boom is what it really goes to. But no one hears the third ventricle too much. But in any case, it's that rhythm. And I find it fascinating to go from, like I just said, you know, a bunch of noise to a rhythm. And it's just one of the most interesting forms of meditation, if you will. I'm not sure if it's a meditation, but it seems that way to me because it gets me quiet, peaceful, focused, and grounded. I don't know if that resonates with any of you guys, but that's what it does for me, and I find it fascinating. So I want to share that. Thanks for bringing that up, Michael. That's quite a while ago. I forgot all about that one. That was cool.
Okay, Jay, since that's what you teach and everything, also, I'm sure you've had similar experiences in that, but I would just encourage people to do this, is to do something that you normally don't do, because for me to sit down and try to play the drum, because I don't play any musical instrument, it would have stopped me in the past. But this time I felt like, okay, I just wanted to express myself and just kind of let it loose. And like Albert said, when we first started, it was awkward, but then all of a sudden, it's almost like there's this spirit just kind of filled us, and we just started playing the drum. And then we got into the unit. It wasn't exactly, but it was very, very musical is the whole thing. And it was just, we didn't want to stop. We just kept going. So, Jay, any comments yet?
No, I just feel that when you do that, it brings something in us that's at actually a very human level. I think I just find that when you're doing the drumming, it's almost like a creation. We're down to the creation level and how we were created actually as a human being. And I just think for 2015 is to get that there again to our heart space, so we can more be more ourselves and know and explore ourselves for who we are. So through practice.
Good. Well, we're getting close. We only have a few minutes left. Jay?
Time's flying.
Anybody that's been listening would like to get in contact with you. You're more than welcome to share a website or a phone number, anything else that you like. So if you got a couple seconds, you're more than welcome to do that.
Yeah, sure. You can take a look at my website. It's bangthedrum.ca, bangthedrum.ca, not .com, .ca. It's a Canadian website, .ca. And you can take a look at Amazon. I'll be singing some songs. I got a lot of articles in there, and we'll explore. Thanks so much.
Good. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, good. Jay, and I enjoyed your input.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
Okay, Albert,
Happy New Year.
Go ahead, Jay. Did you have one comment?
Happy New Year. That's it. That's about it. You know, it's been, I said it my piece for the whole hour. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Okay, Albert,
thank you.
Closing comments?
The first time of the baby new year, let's have fun and play. Let's enjoy who we are. Let's enjoy the moment. And let's enjoy whatever life delivers to us. And have a happy new year's one and all.
Good. And, this topic today has been 2015. Let's look into the crystal ball. And I just want to remind you that at the beginning of the program, I always say this program may not be what you expect, but hopefully you'll find that it's more than you expect. because it got it stretched out, went a little bit further than what you would normally expect for this topic to be. But we have learned over the last 4 years here on the Man Cave Forum to let the energy and the flow go wherever it needs to go. And it's always ends up being magical and a lot of fun. And that's what we enjoy so much, is just having the fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I, too, want to wish you all a happy new year. And please have a great week. Please tell your friends, family, and coworkers to join us each week on Tuesday at 7 p.m. at specific time here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'd like to leave you with just this thought. Just lighten up a little. You've been listening to The Man Cave Forum. Good night.
Goodbye, everybody. Good night.